We're in an incubator. God has brought us to a place that we have to grow. That we have to grow. And we don't like sometimes the circumstances of the incubator. Sometimes we don't like the heat. We don't like the smell. We don't like the culture. We don't like the things that we are in at the moment. But it's imperative to the growth of your spiritual life. You're in this place for a purpose. God didn't put you here just so you could suffer a little bit, just so you could sweat out toxins, just so you could do something. He put you here to grow. He put you here to get bigger. He put you here for your muscles to be strengthened. Now, the Old Testament says fat. Get you fat and ready. Now, some of you, that's pH fat. But God has put you here to increase. Pastor Rena, I can't even remember. I was talking to her not too long ago, and she said, I can't eat that. I'll expand. I can't remember her exact words. I said, I'm feeding you this because I want to see more of you. That was an old joke my father used to tell me. I would say, Daddy, I want to see more of you. He'd say, I'll start eating more. So anyway, but God has brought you to a place to strengthen, to get better, to be more fit. He's incubating a growth, something that needs to grow on the inside of you. Maybe your outside is staying the same, but on the inside, you're changing. Maybe you're not happy with the things on the outside, but let me tell you something. On the inside, there is spiritual change. This outside's going to die. No matter how good it looks, one day this outside will return to dust, but your spirit will live forever. And the beauty of it is we're going to learn things down here that when we get to heaven, we're fit. Then you'll be able to see. There'll be some Christians that, they'll look at you in the spirit when you get up there and they'll be like, whoa, you're looking good. Be like, I was practicing on earth. I didn't wait to get up here to know how to act. I didn't wait to get up here to know how to function. You're going to be able to function on earth as you were meant to function in heaven. And that's kind of where we left off last Sunday. We've been preaching on the anointing. And let's just look back. I'm not going to, I know I say this, it's true. It's so hard for me to review, because when I review, I just want to preach the same message over again. It's just good. It was good the first time, it's good the second time, it's good the third time. And so you should be meditating on these words day and night. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 15. We've been studying on the anointing. Every one of you are anointed. Every one of you, God has smeared something on you. He has marked you. People will be able to look at you and know. Have you ever been in somewhere and you just know that person's a Christian? Yeah. I mean, there's just some places you just know. Why? Because you are a spirit being. And it also works on the other side. Drug addicts, they go to a party, they'll find other drug addicts. Why? It's spiritual. They pick up on it. They know there's something in the spirit realm. And so there are times that we walk in a place and we just know a kindred spirit. We know a sweetness. Why? Because it is the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. It is the presence of God Almighty in their life. Matthew 16 and verse 15. And he says, he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? Can I tell you something? That's an important question. Who do you say that Jesus is? There are people on the earth today that says he was a great prophet. If he was just a prophet, then he was the worst prophet on the face of the earth. Because he said, I am the Son of God. I am the truth, the way, and the light. I am the door. No man comes to the Father except by me. If all he was a prophet, he was a lying prophet. But he wasn't just a prophet. He truly is the Son of God. And so some people will say he's just a man. Some people will say he was never born. Some people will say, he is this or he was that. But let me tell you, Peter had it right. Let's keep reading. But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the anointed, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. He changed his name. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Last week we talked about this and said the church has been looking at it wrong. Because I was preached and told all my life that we're in church, we're in church, we're in the body of Christ, and the devil's on the outside roaring. He's on the outside fighting. He's shooting off missiles. He's doing all this. He's attacking the church, and we're bunkering down, and we build our house upon the solid rock, which is Jesus, and we stand here, and the gates of hell are coming against us, and they will not prevail. The enemy has gates. The enemy is a gated community. And it's his gates which will not prevail. The gates of hell. It says, it doesn't say the gate he shall storm against the gates of heaven and they will not prevail. It says the gates of hell shall not prevail. So what is happening? What is happening is God has planted us into this world. You were seeds planted before the foundation of the time. God knew you were going to be here. Not only did God know you were going to be here, he knew you were going to be born in India. He knew that you were going to travel halfway around the world. You were going to come to Madison, Wisconsin. Why? Because we needed Marines in Madison. Anybody can survive in Florida and Oklahoma and Georgia, Alabama. You know, they testify about Jesus as they check out Walmart and drink their sweet tea. You can survive, you know, just being the weakest of the weak in the Bible Belt. But who does it take to storm the gates of hell? Let all the army and everybody else come after the Marines bring in the victory. Let them come to Madison once we change it to a Bible Belt. Once we click it, once it's the Bible's being preached and then the laws begin to change and reflect that the church is thriving in Madison, then let the rest of them come. Yeah. But until that, and see, then let me just say this, and don't get a bad attitude about it. Because sometimes we get an attitude, well, we got to get up here and do all the work and then everybody else gets to enjoy it. Well, Jesus did all the work and we get to enjoy what he did. But we've got to make a way. We've got to change things so everybody can come on in. And that's why you're here today is not the reason why you're in Madison. Some of you may have asked yourself, why am I in this city? Why am I in this location? Because you were planted here before the foundation of the world, before the sun ever shined its first ray, before rocks hit together, spin really fast, before everything even started. God placed you here in time. Knew you would be here, put you here so that you could bring forth change, so that you could establish the kingdom here on earth, so that you were planted by your neighbor, right beside him. You were planted in your workplace. You were planted in these places. Why? So that you could shine the glory of God to all the world. It wasn't that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail as coming against you. It was that the gates of hell could not stay closed to keep you out. You're going in. And the enemy is trying to stop. And see, the church has backed away for years. The church has had a culture of backing away. The church has had a culture of bowing down to governments. The church has had a culture. Do you know, the United States was one of the first that did not provide for the churches by taxes. Germany still does that. There's certain countries that still taxes go to pay for the church to be established. America was one of the first that said to the churches, nope. Which I like. You want to know why? Because in Germany, when the church is doing something the government doesn't like, they say, hey, we like you, but we're about to cut you off financially. Now what you gonna do? And then all of a sudden, their supplier is not God. Their supplier, their financial supply comes from the government, and it makes it easier for the church to be manipulated. In America, the church is not manipulated by the government because we don't rely on the government for our circumstances. We don't rely on the government from our substance. We rely on the people of God to do what they're called to do. We expect people to give. We expect God to make a way. And that's why the church in America has been strong for so long. I understand that you're enjoying my good preaching this morning. But Jesus, he is our solid rock. And he has called us to go into the world. And he has promised us that nothing will stop us. No flesh and blood will stop us. Now, we said this in the verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The CEV translation puts it this way: I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and God in heaven will allow whatever you will allow on earth. So my question is, what will you allow? But it continues and says, but he will not allow anything that you will not allow. What will you not allow? What will you not put up with? Do you know what? There are some things, and I think children are such good examples. Dogs are such good examples because there are things that you will not allow to happen, but they will keep testing you. Children, they will keep testing you. Cats, they're evil. They don't listen anyway. Sorry, if you're a cat lover, that's just me not loving cats. Okay, so anyway. But, you know, they will test you and test you and test you and test you. But when you put your foot down and say, I will not allow this in this house. But Johnny, I don't care what Johnny's mom and daddy does. Do you live with Johnny? Do you live under that roof? No. You live under my roof. And this is how our rules operate. You will operate by our rules. This isn't Johnny's house. This is our house. And I tell you something. When we get, the world will always show us what is going on. Now, let me tell you. There are movies I don't watch. There are some things I cannot watch, right? Just because, and not that you can't watch, but just in my own heart, in my own spirit, I can't watch it. And then somebody wanted me to watch one time one of those movies where someone's possessed, right? And, you know, like pea soup and all that good stuff spitting. I've seen clips. I've never seen a whole movie of it. Why? Somebody, because the church, you know, be like, when I grew up, they would say, if you watch that movie, the devil will possess you. He can't possess me. He could try all day long. He can't possess good and, you know, sweet water is flowing out of this well. Sweet water is flowing out of this well. No, bitter water can flow out of this well. You can't even get bitterness in here. Why? Because it's full of love. Thank you. Thank you. I like that. Yes, that was a good yes. Now, so evil can't possess us. Why don't I watch those movies? Because I am not going to let the world tell me how, you know, getting rid of demons should look like. Because in their movies, it lasts all day long. It can go days and days and days. I ain't got time to mess with the devil for days. All I see, and it doesn't talk to me either. It doesn't talk to me. It tries. And you know what I tell it? The same I would tell to any dog, not my children, because that's a dirty word in our house. We can't say shut up in our house. But to the devil, he deserves some dirty words. Shut up. Come out. I had one time. Now, you don't see it in the United States as much. It still is here, but you don't see it as much. But in certain countries, it's entertainment. They love it. They enjoy it. And one time I was in a certain country that loved it and enjoyed it. And man, manifestations happen all the time. And I told, said, shut up and come out. He looked at me and said, I don't want to. So, you know, what do you do when you just get challenged? You got to know your place. You got to know where you stand. The dog is not the head of the food chain. The children don't run the house. I want donuts for breakfast. Me too. But we don't eat donuts for breakfast. Not all the time, every once in a while. It's great. Especially if you put bacon on it, it's even better. But you got to know your place and you got to know their place. I remember saying, shut up and come out. I don't want to. But like, I don't think you understood me. Did you hear the words that came out of my mouth? Shut up and come out. I don't want to. Be like, let me tell you why you're going to shut up and come out. One, because I am a child of God. Amen. You are a devil. Yes, you've been cast out before. Mm-hmm. Get ready. It's happening again. Shut up and come out. Amen. Let me just give, I don't tell a lot of stories like this because, you know, I don't like giving place to manifestations that are not of God. You know, because they're not powerful. They can seem to be very entertaining. But I remember one time I went to a country that they actually have TV shows of casting out devils. They have it on their TV. And they bring in priests, they bring in shamans, they bring in all different kinds of religious figures to try to cast out devils. And they get the, I watched one of the episodes because it floored me. I had never even knew that they would do this. And they'll get the people in the crowd, the chant, come out! Come out. I mean, it's in Spanish, so I don't know what come out is in Spanish. They told me what it meant. And they're like, bruh. I don't know. Somebody speak Spanish. Tell me what come out means. What? Vamos. Vamos. I know that word. Vamos. Okay, so they're yelling this. They're yelling all this stuff to come out, right? Get out. And I remember there was this one show where this girl jumped up, little girl, teenage girl, jumped up and beat the tar out of people. And just went crazy. And these big old men that were there to supposed to hold her down and, you know, all that, she just beat them up. Guess who showed up at one of our meetings? Yes, she did. She was precious. And so she was there. And my job, they told me, they said, okay, now this is what's going to happen. We're going to start the meeting. We're going to have praise and worship. People are going to be manifesting all the way through it. When people stop manifesting, that's when praise and worship will end, and then we will commence to teach. But your job is to get everyone who manifests out of the audience and into a side room. Once they're all done, you go in there and cast out the devil. I'm like, okay. I was 19. I remember this. And this was my job. And so manifestations happened, and I had to remind myself, and this is what they told me. They said, the reason why this happens a lot is so that everybody will pay attention to something besides the Spirit of the Lord, besides God. It's trying to get attention off what God is doing, and people be amazed. And I will tell you, there would be times that I forgot. Somebody would manifest in such a way, I'd look and go, wow, that's weird. And then it would hit, wait, no, my job is to get them out of here. And so then I would start doing my job. And then I remember after about 5-10 minutes of standing and looking over the crowd, and I had ushers, and I'd tell them, you go get that one, get that person, take them out, to get that person, take them. And they all put them in the room, and they all were in the room, and finally 10 minutes go by, no one's manifesting. I'm like, okay, good, I'm done. So I go to the room. Now, all the pastors that were visiting are looking in the window. And it doesn't have glass, it's just bars. And they're all like peeking like this above the window. All staring in, looking. So me and my interpreter, we go in. And all of the people back up against the wall. Except this teenage girl who moves toward me. And she begins to speak in English and tells me, I know who you are. We have been expecting you. And my interpreter begins to back up. And I look at him, I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I know her. She doesn't speak English. I said, good. You stay right there. Don't you leave me. I'm going to need somebody to speak Spanish very soon. So don't leave. And she starts to walk toward me again. Keeps moving toward me. And she says, well, I know who you are. We've been expecting you. And I don't know what came over me. But I punched her right in the face. That's a joke. That didn't happen. I'm kidding. That's not real. But that would have been hilarious. Not really. That would have been horrible. All right. But anyway, so what really happened? Now I'm picturing it. That's not good. All right. So she tells me, you know, the last time, I know who you are. We've been expecting you. And I don't know why. Really just the Spirit of God, I'm sure. I just begin to laugh hysterically. The head goes, and I'm just laughing out loud. Just huge, deep laugh. I mean, just unbelievable laughter. And then my head rolls down. And I lock eyes with her black coal eyes. I mean, no white. Look right into her eyes. And I said, the reason why you know me is not because of me. You know me because of the God that lives in me. Shut up and come out. She fell to the ground, shaking. The whole group of the ones that were back against the wall fall to the ground, and they begin to shake. And so I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. You know, because this is new for me. I've cast the devil out, but not like a whole town of people at one time, like a whole classroom of people. So I pick her up, and there was a table, and I put her on as a interpreter. I need you. He goes, oh, yeah. And he runs over. And I command this thing to come out. She blinks three times. All of a sudden, white shows up around her eyes. I knew she was set free. And huge confusion, look of confusion on her face. And so I began, in my interpreter, I said, I need you now. And she starts talking. I said, this is Spanish, right? He goes, yes, this is Spanish. I'm like, okay, good. Now I need you. Talk to her for me. We got her delivered, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit in less than 3 minutes. Everybody else, 30 seconds. That's all it took. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And I ain't got to struggle with none of this. I don't have to struggle with evil spirits. I don't have to struggle. I speak and they listen. Why? Because it's a chain of command. It's the chain of authority. If you got something evil in your house, you just speak and command. You bind and you loose. And God will not allow something to stick around that you won't allow to stick around. God will not allow attitudes, mentalities that you will not allow to stick around. And you know, with children, dogs, it don't matter. You don't allow it. God won't allow it. Oh, Lord. So we need to do a little bit more binding and a little bit more loosing, but we have to know the word to know what to bind and what to loose. You can't go around and then bind bad attitudes. Sometimes you got to beat that out of people. No, I'm just kidding. But no, what you have to do, sometimes it's just bad attitudes. And a bad attitude had nothing to do with the spirit. They're just nasty right now. And they need to change and look more like Jesus. And so we have to know the word. We have to know the spirit. And we have to know, look, I'm not allowing certain things in my house. I'm not allowing certain things in my workplace. I'm not allowing the spirit realm to dominate me. I dominate the spirit realm. Why? Because Jesus paid for my price, my position in him. I am a son of God. They don't come mo higher than that. You are a child of God. There's nothing more higher than you. There's nothing more higher than you. Whew. So we don't allow certain things, and God will not allow them. Now, notice here in verse 19, where it says, "I will give you the kingdoms of, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and God in heaven will allow whatever you allow." Now, where is this? Where are we talking about? On where? You said it. Go ahead. On earth. On earth, not just in your home, not just in your workplace, not just in your automobile, but on earth. So it doesn't matter if you're Madison, Florida, Indonesia, India, doesn't matter where you are, God won't allow what you won't allow wherever you are. Your authority doesn't stop at your property line. Your authority follows you to Costco. It follows you to Walmart, Target, all these places. And a lot of these places, you better have him when you get there. There are some places you better have the Holy Spirit when you show up. We were walking in a trail. We were camping and walking in a trail, and I smelled incense. Everybody, and it would be one thing if I was the only one that smelled it. But everybody smelled it. There was a thick smell of incense, and we're in the middle of the woods. I mean, like, am I going to hear banjos playing? What's about to happen next? And we keep going. And not too long after that, there's this guy in weird clothes, like running. But he's not in shorts running and in tennis shoes running. He's in boots running. I mean, and I was joking because our kids were ahead. And I looked at Pastor Tim. I said, if he grabs your kid, I'll go run after him. I said, I'll save him if he grabs one of them. And so I was just joking. But all of it, I mean, you better have it everywhere you are. You better have it coming to church. Because there are people that come to church that need the church. Right. They're not where they need to be yet. Right. And then sometimes the church gets upset because the people ain't where they need to be. And they want to get rid of the people that ain't where they should be. How about get the people where they need to be? How about be happy that they're here? How about be happy that they're here? And they're changing their lives to look more like Jesus every day. Because if they don't hear it from us, where are they going to hear it from? Exactly. Now, one of the tricks of the evil one, the defeated one, and he is defeated. You better keep that in your mindset. He is defeated. So the defeated one, one of his tricks is to try to get you to escape the world. And I believe the church has adapted to it. We sing about it. Now, I love some of these songs. Don't get me wrong. The songs are great. I'll fly away. It's just, I'll fly away. And then, I mean, we even wrote, we say glad morning, but that's not how it goes. They don't even say glad morning. They talk about, you know, through this earth it's not good, but one day, oh, praise God, I'll fly away. And then there's so many songs. I wrote a couple of them down so I would remember. But I mean, there's just so many songs. Oh, by and by, Lord, the morning comes. I can't sing, so I can't do it. But anyway, the church has a culture of waiting to die. The church has a culture of waiting to leave this world. The church has a culture. Will this happen? Yes! Absolutely, it will happen. But we have had a culture. Can I tell you something? My kids go to Christian schools, so I'm not knocking it. But I do not believe Christian school is God's best. I don't believe that a Christian school is God's best idea or program for this world. What if we were on the school board? What if we were also superintendents? What if we were running the city? Not trying to make Zion our own city, but we got involved. We actually cared so much about people and how they live and the message of Jesus Christ that we would infiltrate, not pick up all our stuff and try to create our own cities and our own school, but get involved and cause their schools to begin to look like heaven. That when the government said no more Bibles, when the government said no more prayers, instead of the church saying, okay, that we said, no way. And if you enforce this, wait till election time. We'll get a new Supreme Court justice in. I think that's what the most important thing about our presidential elections is, not so much the president themselves, because they can be replaced in 4 years and we can undo everything they've done. I mean, history has taught us that we have done that plenty of times. We have given people a place to stay, and then we undo all the laws that they did. And it's actually, if you look at history, we change almost every 16 years. About every 16 years, the nation switches from one political party to the other. And history, we can clock it. A lot of times we have a spiritual renewal about in our history about every 100 years. These things are almost trackable. But the key of political right now is the Supreme Court. Getting good Christian-filled people. And that's where power is. You don't unelect the Supreme Court justice. They're there till they die. And then they shape. They are the ones with power. And so the church standing up as a whole and saying, we will get the Supreme Court justice in that we want to have. We'll get them in. And then they will favor the church. We will get in there. See, we talk about the wheats and the tares so much that the tares are planted in. And I agree that the enemy tries to plant evil things in our place. But it's about time that we go into a field of nothing but weeds. And we begin to plant the kingdom of God among the evil. We get in. We grow up. They get so nervous. I look forward to the day that the city begins to look at our church and say, oh, we have got to stop them. They bought too much land. Too many politicians, they've replaced us. And now they are dictating what we do. I look forward to the day that the city wants to pass a law and they call us. And they say, oh, we just need to talk to you for a moment. And then we even have our own department that handles such things. We'd like to talk to Pastor Teal. What about? Well, we have a law coming up that we would like his opinion on. Oh, well, you know what? He actually doesn't even handle that. We'll transfer you to our department that does. You'll speak with them. So then they transfer them there. And they ask, hey, we're just wondering what y'all think about this. And we say, well, let us tell you what the Bible says about that. And then we begin to lay it down. And if you would like our support, we would like you to line your thought process up with ours. And then all of a sudden, there everything is beginning to be dictated by the kingdom of God. Yes. Instead of the church backing away from the world, we just get in there. Yes. And see, this is the thing. You look sometimes and you think, how can we do this? How can we? It's too much to handle. Well, look at, you know, even just Gideon and the army. They had too many people. They had to go down to 300. Why? So that when it happened, people would not be able to say the army was so big it took over. See, it's going to be foolish things. People are going to look and say, that size is not enough. The size is not enough. You don't have enough people to change Madison. You don't have enough people to get involved. You don't have enough people. Well, watch it. Because where our faith is not in numbers. Our faith is not in how many people show up. Our faith is not in that. Our faith is in a faithful God. We will stand and do our part, and we will see change happen. We're not here to survive until heaven comes or till we go to heaven, but we're here to thrive and bring heaven down to touch earth.
Amen.
Mm. Jesus did not preach heaven, going to heaven. Look at his messages. His messages did not be, brother, believe in me and you will not die and go to hell. His messages were, believe in me, change your life and begin to bring heaven down to earth. Jesus preached the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom. And our job is to go into the uttermost parts of the world and bring the kingdom here. Not run away. And look, yes, you need your own company. Yes, you need to fellowship with one another. Yes, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. You need that. Jesus sent them two by two. When things got rough, they came back and they were among their own company. They reminded themselves of what the kingdom truly was. They encouraged each other and praised God in what he was doing through them. And they changed the world. I mean, this all started in Israel. This all started in Jerusalem. And it reached all the way across the world. It reached Spain. It reached all the way to Peru. It reached everywhere. And the vessels were not perfect and made huge mistakes. But God still manifested. God still showed up. And God still worked. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to want to be used by God. And I believe that's why you're here this morning. I don't believe you're here just because of religion. I don't think anybody in this place has a whole lot of religion on the inside of them. You're here because you want to please God. We don't have no smoke, no incense, no holy water. We don't have nothing to dunk you under in, sprinkle on you. We don't have any of this outward show. You're here because you want to please the Lord. And I believe that about you. And I know you are going to do what God has called you to do. So stop looking at circumstances. Yes, it's fine to not know how. But one thing you're going to have to start doing is bringing the kingdom down. You're going to have to bind on earth and loose on earth. And God will do the same from heaven. The defeated one tries to get us to look at everything else. Israel sent its spies into Canaan. And basically, we can say, instead of spies, preachers. They were meant to go look and tell the goodness of God, preach the gospel. And what did the spies do? All of them came back with a bad report except one group. One group. And they said, we can take the land. It flows with milk and honey. This is the land God said we could take. Let's take it. And what did they do? Hey, they're really big. They're powerful. We can't do this. And the people cried and they mourned. I think the church has been a powerful utensil, you know, a weapon, whatever you want to call it, arm of God on this earth. And we looked at it and we said, the world is too powerful. And the people of God cried. When the people of God, the pastors, the priests, all of them should have stood up and said, this world belongs to the Lord. We can take it. Let's do it now. Let's not wait. Let's do it now. But we've had 1,000 years of sitting back and letting the world dictate what we can do. It's time to stop letting that culture influence the church and us to do the will of God, us to stand in the kingdom and cause it to manifest here. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. I think it's Genesis here. I just want to read out of it here. But it says, nevertheless, look it up. The people, be strong. This is where Moses is standing before. And one of the, it says, they lift their voices up and they cried. And all the children of Israel mumbled against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would the Lord bring us out of the land of Egypt just to die, to go in the wilderness and die? Is that not what still happens today? We get disappointed, we point our finger at the people of God, and then we point our finger at God. I'm going to tell you something. God didn't bring you in the wilderness to die. He brought you in the wilderness to get you to a new location. He brought you in the wilderness to let go of some things, to grow. He brought you here to get you to the other side. And you will get to the other side. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to the other side. Look at your other neighbor and say, please come with me. The children of Israel said, let us return to Egypt. Let us return to Egypt. You know, I think one of the reasons America has had great success in our country and in our past is because there were men and women of God who understood that no one should dominate them. No one should have complete control of them. I mean, just listen to the words of Patrick Henry. I mean, have you, in school, we had to memorize that speech. And I looked it up probably a couple weeks ago and read it. And some of it came back to me. And I remember him. And I just can't even imagine a war is being fought. And he is trying to convince others to join this effort, to declare war against Britain and to have to be a free nation and not to let a tyrant dictate how we lived and what freedoms we could have. And he stood up and said, our guys, I'm not going to get it word for word. This has been a long time ago. I've been out of school longer than I've been in school. But he basically said, our fellow men are standing in the fields. Will we join them? And he continues to say, can freedom be brought by the price of chains? And he said, God forbid. We'll not be sold into slavery. We'll not allow that to happen. But to give me liberty or give me death. A man so passionate because he understood no weapon formed against him should prosper. And that it was more important to stand up for the kingdom of God and the glory of the Lord than someone thousands of miles away supply all our needs. It's better to trust in the Lord. Now, we also could see people like that in Nebuchadnezzar, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But let's look at this before we get there. Y'all can turn to Daniel chapter 3. Revelations 11 and 15 says, And the seventh angel sounded, and there were a great voice in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. God is telling us that there are kingdoms of this world that are formed in an operation, but there's coming a day where the kingdoms of this world will turn to the kingdom of God. I think we should be a part of that. I think we should start turning kingdoms of this world into kingdoms of God now. Have y'all found Daniel? Good. I'm going to read Hebrews 1 and 13 to you beforehand. But to this which of the angels said at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. What is a footstool? Yeah, this is not a trick question. My grandma had them. They called them something else. I don't even remember what they called them. They put the feet on them. Now, people are not your enemy. Do not go home and make your rebellious child sit down and you put your feet on them. That's not what God is talking about. We're talking about spiritual things. The enemy is going to have to see you come in, take your shoes off, bow down in front of you, and you put your feet up there. Even roll your stinky socks down. Let them deal with that. The enemy knows their place. That's why he's trying to get you to separate from yours. Because if you are not in your place, he definitely ain't in his. You have to stand in your position. Because he'll challenge you to see if you believe what you believe. Now, have you found Daniel 3? Let's look at 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. I believe they called him Nebi for short. O Nebi. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. Let's just put it. I don't even care to talk to you about this subject. I don't even have to open my mouth to say anything to you about this subject. But if it be so, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us. Read that. Our God is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. They are facing a life and death situation. It is either bow or burn. And I'm going to tell you something. Burning is probably the least way I want to die. Yeah. Have you ever thought about dying? Have you ever thought about dying in a fire? That's not a way I want to go. I don't ever plan on my house ever catching on fire. But if it does, I have two ladders on each side to throw out the window. One on one side, just in case I'm trapped on one side, I'm going to the other. If I can't make it, I'm going to get somewhere where I can put a ladder down and get my butt out of my house. Why? Because I ain't burning in no fire. These boys are facing burning in a furnace. And they did not back off of worshiping only one true and living God. Daniel, when he was told not to worship the Lord, what did he do? The same thing he did every day. See, this is the thing. I think some people look at Daniel and they think, oh, look at Daniel. You know, they go with it, this mentality. He was told, so he was going to make a public display. No, he was not. He was not going out to make a public display to defy the king. He did what he already always did. He always went to the window. It was his habit. It was what he did. He would face Jerusalem. And he would pray to God every day. And so when the decree said, you can't do it, he didn't go out and say, I'm going to do this in the streets. No, he went to the same place he always did, and he did what he always have done. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm not changing my ways because the devil tells me I've got to change. I'm not changing my ways because he's infiltrated the government. I'm not changing my ways because he controls Hollywood. I'm not. Look at this. Hollywood is proving they can fall. Billionaires cannot hide from justice. They may have had in the past, but there is a move of God that is sweeping this land that says, you create such injustices, you will fall. I read an article this morning that I loved. It blessed me. Because now this was written by someone who I disagree with highly politically. Disagree with them to the hilt. Couldn't hardly disagree with them anymore if I wanted to. But they began to point out a senator that they believe did some good works. But they said, we have got to stop idolizing him as he made no mistakes. And then he began to point out his mistakes and said, his legacy should be known that he did make legislation that we agree with. But his lifestyle, he turned his back on the message. He wrecked a car, killed someone, and didn't report it for 10 hours. Let him drown. And he said, and we praise this person. We have streets named after the person, libraries named after the person. And we praise all they do. When they died, both parties praised him for his work and said there was no one that fought for freedom more than this man. And he said, that is a lie, because he was a womanizer, an alcoholic. And it should be shown. We should hit it with the truth. We don't have to deny the good. This is their statements. We don't have to deny the good works that he did. But we must not deny the history, the accusations, and the things that have been done by law. Because he got out of it because of his connections. And he says we must not idolize him. And we must recognize. Why is this change coming? Because the church is beginning the free evangelical movement, the movement of trusting and having a relationship with God, having a relationship and not religion. This movement is causing the world to change. Because I could tell you, 50 years ago, nothing could cause Hollywood to crumble. Nothing could cause billionaires getting away with what they've got away with. Having islands and abusing and sex trade and trafficking in this world, taking young girls out of their nation and their homes and abusing them, nothing could have stopped them 50 years ago. What is the difference? The church is beginning to step in her place. The church is praying like we've never prayed before. The church is calling things out. We're standing in our place, and change is coming. Mountains are moving. Why? Because the church is shaking off its shackles. The church is getting rid of its unrighteousness. The church is not turning a blind eye. And history, time and time again, shows how powerful the church is. The church is the one that changed the United States and brought in laws that did not allow children to work like they were being worked and abused and locked into rooms and sweatshops. It was the church that said no. Now, when this is the problem, though. In the past, people have hijacked it. Unions came in and hijacked it and started acting in ways that were displeasing to the church and to God. And the church backed away and said, we want no part of this. The church should have stood their ground and got rid of those people who came in with baseball bats. Should have got rid of them and stayed in it. They were the ones that demanded change. It was in New York when the buildings burned down and killed thousands of children and women because they were locked into rooms, and the peoples with the keys to let them out on their break ran instead of opening the doors and allowed the women and children to burn to death. It was the church that stood up and said, this is unjust and against God, and we will not put up with it. And change came. It is change that is happening now, where the church stands up and says, we will not let evil people stand in places and abuse people anymore. We bind this on earth, and we lose the Spirit of God in here. And see, the scripture says things can be done in secret and in the dark places, but the light will shine upon it. And that is what we're seeing manifest right now in this country. Is the church is praying. The church is standing up. The church is preaching the gospel. Light is shining in the dark places. I'm going to tell you, we're not going to like what we find. And I'm sure there will be plenty of people that will do anything to hide it. When you get billionaires doing what they're doing and about to be exposed, they will do anything to hide it. But can I tell you something? The light will shine. The church is demanding it. The church is demanding freedom. The church is demanding righteousness. Let's continue to be involved in the kingdom and bringing earth to our earth and heaven together. My last scripture, Psalms 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. It does not say, pastor's house, his property, and wherever he walks belongs to the Lord. It does not say, those who go to church and pray daily. Those belong to the Lord. Their homes belong to the Lord. Their cars belong to the world. And wherever they go, the Lord is with them. It says the whole earth belongs to the Lord. That lets me know the schools belong to the Lord because they're in the earth. That lets me know that all the politics and every building in this earth, D.C., belongs to the Lord. Madison, Wisconsin belongs to the Lord. Every square inch of this earth belongs to God. And His will be manifested because I am here. And that should be your mentality. The reason why the boys were able to stand in front of King Nebi and speak the way they did was because they understood who God was. Who am I? Who do people say I am? What is your answer going to be? He is the God who created heaven and earth. See where I'm standing? It belongs to Him. It's His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I will not allow anything else to happen. I will not stand by and allow children to be murdered in the name of convenience. We will pray, we will stand, and we will see it abolished. If we have to get new Supreme Court justices, that's what we will do. What must we do to see the kingdom of God established on earth? Because I'm here. We're going to do it. I truly believe with everything in me. My daughters will ask me, Daddy, how did y'all allow this injustice to happen? How did you allow this to go on in the United States for so long, Daddy? And all I'll be able to answer her is saying, baby, the church just didn't do its job. We refuse to back away. We demand the kingdom of God. And yes, there will be natural things we will do, but I'm going to hit it in the spirit. And whatever way God tells me to manifest, whatever way God leads me to manifest, that's what I will do. But I am going to be led by the Spirit of God, and I'm going to attack it in the spirit. Because I'm not against the president or our governor who stand on either side of the party. The Republicans, the Democrat, the nonpartisan, the Green Party, all these parties, they are not my enemy. They are not my enemy. I am not fighting any of them. And I believe there's godly people on both sides of the aisle. But what my enemy is the defeated one. And he has tricked the church to be separate from the world. When we are supposed to go into the kingdom of the darkness, we're supposed to go into gated communities. Yes. Yes. We are to preach the gospel. We are to lay hands on the sick. We are to cause the blinded eyes to see. We are supposed to be out there healing the brokenhearted. Why? Because we are anointed. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And it is time for me to take my place. It is time for you to take your place. But what can we do? We can take this whole city. We can take this whole nation. We can take this whole world. If it's only us, we can take it. But I tell you, you don't take the land that your numbers don't increase. But increase, if we don't increase in number, we have enough. And it will be written in heaven when we get there. We will be able to read about the amount of people that are in this church that took the nation. Why? Because we purposed in our own heart that we would not be moved by what we see, but we would be moved by faith. We pray like nobody prays. We pray like nobody's going to stop us. We preach like nobody's going to stop us. Whether we're preaching to 10 or 10,000, we preach the same message with the same fervor. Why? Because the vision of God burns on the inside of us and said there are people that are out there that need to be set free. And if they can't be set free, I'd rather die, but I know the God I serve. So give me liberty, give me freedom, or give me death. The good news is I already died. I've already died, and it is He that lives on the inside of me. Father, we come before You in prayer, in earnesty of heart.